Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Happy Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere week to all of those who celebrate, which I would assume is everyone listening to this podcast. I know there might be a few of you who, are just here for more like the Vanderpump Rules content, etc. But it's a big week for us Salt Lake City fans because the Best Housewife franchise is returning. Listen, not the Best Housewife franchise ever, but the best one right now. Okay, and I'm fine with switching my favorites based on who's doing the best in the moment. I am very much looking forward to it. Can't wait. If you didn't know, it premieres on September 18th. Thank God, because we need something. Okay, Wednesdays have been just annoying. Okay, they've just been Wednesdays. There hasn't been anything good, nothing to look forward to. So I'm so happy that Salt Lake City is returning. If you haven't seen the trailer, I don't know. You're living under a rock. I don't know. It's on social media. Find it. It's good. We've also got New York coming back on October 1st. I'm not sure if that is garnering the same type of excitement. It's not for me. Like, I'm going to watch it. I'm not, anti-New York. I'm willing to give it a chance. The first season was I'm going to watch it, whatever. And I'm happy to have more shows to watch. I'm always just like, give me more shows. And then October 6th, we have Potomac. I did a whole deep dive into my thoughts on Potomac on my last Patreon episode. I think I did an overview of like the New York preview, or at least talked about it. It was either on here or Patreon. I can't remember right now. I'm sorry. I used to listen to podcasts before I was a podcaster. And I was like, sometimes I was like, come on, you got to remember like what you talked about and when, and da, da, da. And now that I'm doing it, I'm like, yeah, I see it. I see why it's hard, because you do so much recording and it all just gets blurred together. So I'm sorry about that. But yeah, if you want to listen to all my thoughts on Potomac, or anything, and you want bonus episodes, it's patreon.com/Bravo and Botox. I also wanted to say that Patreon has now added a feature where you can just buy a single episode. So if you don't want to subscribe for like the monthly subscription, and you just want to, there's just like one episode you want to listen to, you can do that. Okay, now keep in mind that I charge $5 a month and you get 4 bonus episodes. And in terms of individual episodes, Patreon will not let me charge any less than $3 an episode. So, I guess it's like not the best deal. It's probably better to just buy for 1 month and then you can just like, you can literally buy a monthly membership and then 5 minutes later cancel it. And then you're in for the month, so you could just listen to as much as you want. But that being said, if you do just want to buy like one episode, because you're like, just this is the one I want to listen to, I want to try it out, or I just want to support Emily/Bravo and Botox, because the money goes towards supporting the podcast, right? I don't make any money off of this podcast that I do, the Bravo Weekly News. Any episodes I do on the feed that are free, as you can see, I don't have any advertisers or anything. So, that the Patreon is the only way that I make any sort of money off of this. So yeah, if you do just want to support me, that's always a good way to support me, even if you're not going to listen to the bonus episodes. If you're interested, check it out. Patreon.com/Bravo and Botox. Now, the other thing I was going to say is that Oh yeah, if you have a monthly membership and then you go to like one of my posts on Patreon and you see a price on it, you do not have to pay for that. Like, you're in for the, like, you can access everything. Like, there's no limits on it or anything like that. So yeah, check it out. All right, let's get into some news. It's been a very crazy week for Real Housewives of Orange County, definitely with, you know, Mr. John Jansen going on Watch What Happens Live, etc. And Alexis going on, well, sorry, he wasn't on Watch What Happens Live. He was in the audience, but it felt like he went on because it just seemed like Alexis was like his mouthpiece, you know, like all her answers, you know, they had clearly discussed it all ahead of time. They had their answers planned out. And, you know, it was really just Alexis playing victim, how she's the one who we should all feel bad for, but really without giving us any sort of concrete reason why we should feel bad for her. There's no reason. It's like, she's like, I'm a victim because I started dating this guy. Shannon is evil. And, you know, none of you see that Shannon's evil and now everyone's coming after me. No, that's not what's happening. You suck. You're the fault of this. You're the reason this is happening. Okay. You and, you know, the toad that you're dating. So John Jansen was sitting in the audience and he's wearing like this leather looking, I mean, I don't know, it's probably leather, what the hell do I care, but it just looks pleather jacket. And he's got, you know, with like a V-neck t-shirt, and then he's got like this big cross necklace, and then he's got a scarf, and it's like, it's just like this like pashmina kind of thin scarf, and it's like hanging open. Like, I don't know who dressed him. Well, actually, I do. It was him and Alexis. I don't understand how they think this was a good idea. It was very like Tom Sandoval in 30 years. And I don't mean that in a complimentary way, in case you couldn't tell. It was embarrassing, to say the least. Okay. Here's the other thing. You go on Watch What Happens Live. You don't have to sit in the front row. If your girlfriend or boyfriend or significant other is on the show, you can hang out in their change room or in the back or wherever. You know, this is confirmed. Okay. I saw Danny Pellegrino tweeting this, who's been on Watch What Happens Live. He chose to go and sit out there. So, you know, this whole thing about like, he doesn't want to be in the spotlight. He doesn't want attention. He doesn't want the heat on him. You're doing it to yourself. Like, if you had just shut up from the start, if you hadn't like encouraged Alexis to go on the show, I'm sure Alexis also wanted to go on the show this season, fine. But, you know, did she need to like bring up all this lawsuit stuff, be constantly bringing up Johnny J, you know, approaching Shannon, like literally the first episode, the first party at Heather's house to be like, you know, there's the door, Shannon Bedore. If we hadn't had all that, like you guys fed this fire, like they fed it so deeply. So, okay. There's not a lot that he said that I think is significant or noteworthy, obviously, because it's Alexis and Johnny J, besides them just kind of, you know, talking about how they're the ones who are the victims and we all have it wrong, basically. One thing that he did say is that Andy asked him, you know, why he didn't sign the non-disparagement clause. And he said, why would I put a legal muzzle on myself so that I can't actually correct the record? Here's the problem, Johnny J. The only reason that you need to correct the record is because of you. Shut the fuck up, stop talking, and then you won't need to correct the record. No one really, like, we all had kind of an inkling from seeing John on the show in the past and his relationship with Shannon. We all had like an inkling that he may have been like an undercover asshole. And we all kind of had the impression that maybe Shannon was paying for stuff. Those were really our biggest thoughts. But I would say that John, for the most part, like if we're comparing him to a lot of other husbands, actually most other who, you know, have really stepped into the show spotlight, he's not one that I had at the top of my list. Like, to me, he was like a background nobody type of husband. Like, I didn't have him in my mind like, you know, like Peter, like Cynthia's husband on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm trying to think, who are some other ones? PK from Beverly Hills, or like the husbands who really make a splash and get involved in the show. You know what I mean? I could name 20 more. I just, you know, it's because I have to on the spot that I can't think of any, but I know there's lots of them. I never thought of John as one of those until all of this. And he's so worried about what everyone's saying about him. I still don't know Like, besides that, and I'm sorry, if you are such a little man that you can't deal with the idea that some people in this like niche Orange County audience might think that you got your girlfriend to pay for shit, if that's like the worst thing and you can't deal with that, go see a therapist, because that is not even that bad. Like, it's really not that bad. There's much worse that could, like, there's so much worse that could happen. And then what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. And then just the whole thing about like Shannon is putting things out to like make me look bad and take me down and she needs to stop. I still don't know what he's talking about. Besides, listen, here's the other thing. When you break up with someone and you're on a show, when you break up with anyone, when any two people break up, they both have their version of events, unless it's like a nice mutual breakup, which is rare. Two people break up, they both have their version of events. They both are going to put their own sort of like bias and spin on it. Unfortunately, you decided to date a reality star, so her bias and spin is going to be seen by an audience. So I do understand that. I'm not saying I don't understand what he's saying with that, but like that's kind of like par for the course when you date someone on a reality show and then you break up. You know, like like Stassi broke up with that guy. What was his name? Who was a real dick? Patrick. And then, you know, they could all talk shit about him at the reunion. Da-da. Was he there to defend himself? No. But the best thing that he could do or anyone like him is say nothing, right? Because the more you talk about it, the more you bring attention to it, the worse you make it, as we can see. Because now he's gone from like a kind of douchey, maybe boyfriend that we didn't know that much details about. We didn't love him, but whatever. We were like ready to move on from him, to completely hated, being compared to Tom Sandoval, people saying he's the devil. Like, he has gone to this next level. So I just, it is always amazing to watch people just do this to themselves. It's always such a crazy thing to watch. It happens. Like, it happened with Sandoval. It happens with so many people who just, you know, they think that by speaking and doing, they're maybe going to help their situation, and it just doesn't. It's wild to watch it unfold. So that was one thing he said on Watch What Happens Live. To me, that was the only really like significant thing. But some other things going on in the OC world. So now with all, you know, with people are really up in arms about this whole blackmail thing. Like, isn't this blackmail? You know, they're basically saying like, pay the $75,000. I've got these videos, which it totally is. I agree with that. So, you know, Alexis is kind of on her media tour to defend Johnny. Basically, she says in an interview, she says Shannon didn't offer the full amount. And she says, what wealthy person would walk away from $75,000? Well, if he was actually wealthy, wouldn't he walk away from it? Because going after it is not helping his reputation. But here's the thing. I actually think that he thought that it would help his reputation, because I think he thought that doing the lawsuit would be like, look, guys, it was actually the other way around. She's the one who was always taking money from me. She was the one who I had to always pay for. Like, I think he thought that, combined with the DUI, that he was going to come out the winner. But my God, was he wrong. Okay, so Alexis also in her interviews has been saying that Johnny wasn't going to sign the... See, I like to say Johnny now, because I saw on Watch What Happens Live that it kind of looked like it bothered him. Or that, like, I don't know, that he didn't like it when Andy said it. Anyway, so I'm going to go with it. But Johnny wasn't going to sign a non-disparaging agreement because he's not going to put a muzzle on himself. So, and this is Alexis. This quote is from an interview with Us Weekly Studio. So this is not the Watch What Happens Live one. So him and her have got this like whole muzzle story going on. It makes no sense, because like, he's not, if he really just wanted to move on and get paid, she was also going to sign it. So if you really wanted to get out of the limelight, you know, marry Alexis and ride off into the sunset, then just do it and shut up, and we don't need to hear from you anymore. Like, it's ridiculous. Anyways, yeah. So there's also a little bit of a follow-up here, because I think, I'm not sure if I talked about this last week, but I think I did. So the story was the one about Kiki from the Talk of Shame. So basically, she was telling a story, and I do think I told this on the last episode, but I'll just give a very, you know, abridged version. Basically, she was saying that Tamara, long story short, tried to get her fired. Okay. Like, thought that Kiki was talking shit about her on the Jeff Lewis podcast. She wasn't even on the podcast or hosting it. And she was like, I was not talking about you. And then Tamara was like, well, I heard blah, blah, blah. And then I called Andy, and Kiki was like, well, can you not like call Andy and like try to get me in shit, basically? So this clip is floating around. And it's because this was on Sheena's podcast. So on, there's like a reel, you know, on Instagram with the two of them talking about it. And then I saw that Jen Pedranti commented on it. And she said, I need my job as well. She just did the same thing to me. Best of luck to you both. Okay. I like it. Jen's getting in there. And then Vicky replied and was like, typical Tamara. And then Tamara says, I was referring to someone on my cast that was commenting horrible things about me and my husband. Then when I reported it to Bravo, we are not allowed to do it per our contract. She's crying to people saying I'm trying to get her fired with a little like shaking my head emoji. So like, Tamara, just stop. Okay. I'm sorry. I believe Kiki in this case, but I was referring to someone on my cast. So then why did you call her all pissed off about her hosting the show? And if it was about somebody else who was like saying horrible things about you and your husband, like why would that be her fault? Also, check your facts before you're calling around, because she was at the Tom Girardi trial and she wasn't even there or hosting it. Like, just like, that's very annoying to me. I don't like that at all. Okay. By the way, Jen Pedranti has started following me on Instagram, and so has Katie, which, welcome. And I know the two of them are not listening right now, but just saying, there is a purpose to me saying this, by the way, because Jen commented on one of my posts. So I had a post about how she got like a joke meme about how she got $6,000 a month for child support for six kids. And like, oh my God, that's it in Orange County. And she replied and wrote, oh, if only you knew. So I have a feeling we are going to be finding out more about Jen's custody battle and the issues with her ex. I want to know more about this guy. I'm very curious because it sounds like he was kind of an absentee dad. You know, I know she cheated on him and all that, but I think there's more nuance to the story and I do want to hear it. I am very interested in that. Now, speaking of terrible exes, let's go to Mr. David Bedore. And we got a story about him. Just, I mean, Shannon has just the worst exes, right? Okay, so David has been hit with a restraining order by his wife, Leslie, over alleged abuse. And I would like to remind everyone that this is not the first time there have been allegations of domestic violence with Leslie and David. There was, of course, allegations with David and Shannon. I think we all remember, all us OC fans, the season where Vicky kind of brought that up at the reunion, and it may have been on camera as well during the season. And then they really hashed it out at the reunion. And Shannon was like bawling her eyes out, like just devastated that, you know, that Vicky would make this kind of claim and would say it. And then there was like the whole debate over like pictures of her and David on a vacation and she had bruising and was it from him or was it not? And, but listen, Shannon adamantly denied it, still does to this day. Again, I could see, though, that being to protect her children. I really could, because I think women will fiercely and staunchly protect their kids, even if they're doing something that's maybe not protecting them, but they think that they are, you know, even just as much as like, I don't want people at my daughter's school, like asking them questions about their father, like hitting their mother, like who knows, right? So again, we don't know for sure, but listen, I always suspected things with David Bedore. He's clearly doing it with this new wife, which that to me is a sign that is definitely a possibility that he did it with Shannon. But I don't know anything as facts. That's just my opinion. Okay, so back to it. So Leslie said David's most recent outburst happened on Monday, September 9th. So her ex, so she also has an ex, he came to pick up their kids. So I guess she has kids with her ex. His name's Eric's. And basically, David stormed outside. He started yelling obscenities at Eric's while he waited in his car with the window up. So the ex, like, just stayed in the car. All the children were present. And there were witnesses who said David's behavior, who saw David's behavior toward Eric's and said it was very scary. So Leslie says, I recorded the whole incident and will provide the videos to the court. All my children are terrified of David's behavior. Well, yeah. And it's time to get out of this marriage. Like, there was, I don't remember when it was. It was a year ago or maybe a year and a half where it came out that they were separating, or she had filed for divorce and then all of a sudden went back on it and was like, we're not getting divorced. Woo, everything's perfect. So I don't know what's going on with these two. I think this is probably an extremely volatile and toxic relationship with, unfortunately, physical and other types of abuse, I would suspect. And I just, it makes me sad because there's kids involved and it just, it sucks. I mean, I'm glad that this isn't Shannon's problem anymore, but, and listen, do I have a ton of sympathy for Leslie, who was like the mistress, the other woman? No, I don't have sympathy for her in the sense of like, okay, well, you know, look how you got into the relationship with this guy, but nobody deserves to be abused. Even if, you know, Leslie did act like a complete asshole for a while, no one deserves that. So I hope she can get out of this situation and get the children out of it. Leslie also said, after this incident, I received about 59. Geez. Well, not about, if you say 59, that's a very specific number, but I received about 59 harassing texts from David in a row telling me I was having sex with him. I should go have sex with him, accusing me of all kinds of things that could never be possible. David truly needs help. He gets in an obsessive mania state. Okay. So we will see what happens with that. I mean, God, like, how much longer can these two keep going? It seems like it's been contentious at the least. There's got to be a part of Shannon that's like, you know, she probably is like, I'm happy I'm not in that situation anymore. There's also got to be a part of her that's kind of like, I think there's probably a little bit of schadenfreude, right? Like, not necessarily towards Leslie, but more towards David. Kind of like, see, David, you're the problem, right? Like, not that Shannon's perfect, but, you know, I think David was definitely the bigger part of the problem for sure. Okay, so let's talk about Vanderpump Rules. First of all, Lala had her baby, which I think I discussed last week, but the name is out and it is Sosa Kent, which, interesting. Do I love the sound of it? It's not like what I would pick, but honestly, what the fuck do I care? It's her kid, right? And I think it has some meaning that relates to the water, ocean, or something. So yeah. So congrats on that. Let's go on to something a little bit more juicy here, which is Ariana and Katie and the case with Chef Penny. So I haven't done an update on this in a while, but there is an interesting update on it now. So first of all, Katie and Ariana, they deny any allegations of wrongdoings in this case. Okay. Now, The case files or statement or whatever it's called was released, and there's a lot, it's a lot, okay, to kind of pick apart and figure out. But the basic overview of it is that Penny went to file this trademark, okay, for something about her. We all remember that if we've been following this. And basically, her claim is that she should be a partner because she filed and will hold the trademark, but she doesn't actually hold the trademark yet. So she filed for it, but she hasn't got it. Now, Katie and Ariana are saying that the way that she filed for the trademark and all that was fraudulent. Okay. So they say that it's fraudulent and they have proof of this, or they can prove it. Okay. Now, Penny's husband, who's a lawyer, he's involved in all of this too. And he's asked the court to like not make any decision on the fraudulent trademark until they settle in the partnership case. Okay. Cause I guess Penny is claiming that like she should be a partner. But here's the thing, is they're saying she shouldn't be a partner. Ariana and Katie are saying she shouldn't be a partner because of the fraudulent trademark thing. So the court can't rule on the partnership thing until the trademark thing is ruled on. And of course he wants them, like as in Penny's husband, of course he wants them to rule on that, you know, because then that would help him with the trademark case. Does that make sense, everyone? Am I making sense or do I just sound like a psychopath here? So yeah, so it's basically just kind of like a big circle going around and around, because it seems like she's, Penny, was trying to get this trademark so that in a fraudulent way, I believe Ariana and Katie, but trying to get this trademark in a fraudulent way so that she could claim partnership, so that she could then get money from them that she actually doesn't deserve. But it does look like, unfortunately for her, she filed it in a fraudulent way. And Ariana and Katie see that and they see what she's doing and their lawyers see it. So now actually she could be in shit because of this. So this greed that Penny's having may be coming back to bite her in the ass. Okay. So basically, Penny claims that the reason she filed the trademark is because, you know, it benefits their partnership, and that she is legitimately a partner, or she was legitimately a partner in something about her. But basically, like Katie and Ariana are like, no, you're not actually a partner. So the trademark application should be rejected. Okay. But it's also like, if Penny really thought she was a partner, why wouldn't she file the trademark under something about her LLC? But instead she filed it under her own LLC. So that is suspect, right? I don't know. Like, I don't really get that, but it seems like Penny is up to some fraudulent tomfoolery here. So yeah. What was the other thing I wanted to say about it? I'm just thinking, but I mean, this seems really shady to me. Apparently Penny has had other like cases where, you know, she's just had other like fraudulent sort of, I don't know, sketchy things in business before. So this is not like a first time thing. So, and I read somewhere now, I can't remember, but that she's, you know, she could get in shit for this. Like it could have like jail time or fines or something attached to it. So I'm not sure. So, you know, Team Ariana and Katie, of course. Okay. So let's talk about, where was I? Let's talk about the Valley. Okay. So we've got news. We've got Brittany and Jack's news like every damn week, but listen, I'm fine with it because we need some tea. So Brittany is not interested in sharing custody of her son with Jax. Listen, we kind of knew, and I think I talked about this already last week that she is wanting full physical custody of the children. But she basically, there's a quote, and this was released in an article, that she is not interested in sharing custody at all with him. So according to the new report, she doesn't want to give him anything more than visitation. So that was floating around and some people were like really shocked by it when this story came out this week and like, oh my God. But I was like, didn't the story already come out? Like, I know I covered this on the news. However, I think that this was more just like Brittany confirmed it and she was quoted in it rather than before when people were just kind of like reading the documents of the divorce. So yeah. And then Jax is now moved out of the home. So we know that Brittany and Cruz moved back into the marital home and Jax moved out. Jax posted a picture of himself like, it's so lame, but he's like, you know, sitting like looking down with his sunglasses all posed. Like it was like he's doing a throwback modeling pic. And his caption is like, it'll take some time for my new place to feel like a home, but it will get there. 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time. Okay, so he's really leaning into the like giving us little tidbits and clues that he might be in recovery from substance, because one day at a time is very like AA or you know, recovery of an addict kind of thing. So I feel like he's teasing. He hasn't been like 100% clear about whether it's like an addiction or a mental health thing. You know, he said he was diagnosed. Yes, I understand that. But then he also changed the wording on his podcast description from the mental health facility to rehab. So it's like, which all of this is, and it could be both. However, all of this is putting my antennas up because, and I'm literally holding my finger up at my head, like doing the antenna thing right now. And none of you guys can see me. What is happening? But anyways, I'm like, Jax is up to something here, because this is like, when something doesn't make sense, that usually means there's some stretch of the truth. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't anything valid in his like mental health, or that he doesn't have addiction issues or whatever, but I think he's purposefully being unclear for a reason that will benefit him and no one else, because that's how Jax works. And then he was on his podcast and he got a question from like a listener that asked if he thinks he's a narcissist, and he admitted, yes, I think I am. But I didn't realize all this time that I was a narcissist. Well, yeah, that's what narcissism is. Of course you didn't realize it. But you know, Jax still is going about his passive aggressive ways, because then he was talking about what he may have done differently in his relationship with Brittany. And what he said was that he wished he would have been engaged longer, or that they wouldn't have rushed into the wedding. They were engaged for a year, and they dated for years before that, and they had a completely normal relationship trajectory. Like, I get that maybe like he proposed pretty quick after his dad passed away. Maybe that's what he means, but that's not what he said. And here's the thing. This is a passive aggressive way of blaming Brittany, if you think about it, because then he says that, oh, like, you know, I wish we would have taken more time before deciding to get married. Like, the way he says it, I can't remember the exact quote, but it very much implies that he married the wrong person. And if he hadn't felt so rushed and pressured to get married, maybe he would have realized that, you know, I shouldn't have married Brittany in the first place, which, again, like, it's always someone else's fault. And fine, you could say like, oh, maybe he would have realized the fit wasn't right or whatever. But like, it's just a stupid thing to say. I don't think that being engaged longer to, just say they did end up getting married, but they stayed engaged longer, would that have made a difference? I don't think so. How about not cheating and being a dick? That would help. That might be something different to try. I don't know. Just a thought, Jax. Just a thought. All right, let's talk about Summer House and more toxic exes. So there's a rumor flying around that Carl and Danielle are dating. I don't think it's true. I did share it on my Instagram story because I like to share rumors, but I said, because I don't like to share rumors as though they're facts, but I just shared it like, this is a rumor flying around. There's no confirmation, like take it with a grain of salt, right? And I'm still in that mindset. There's, you know, there's like a picture of them together, whatever. They're friends. We know that. Do I believe that Danielle would date Carl at this point? 1,000,000,000%. Of course she would. That's just that her dating him suits who she is more than not dating him. Like, to me, it just makes sense. However, they were at an event together, and somebody who did see them there said this, and I quote, "Oh my God, I was at the event and saw them together. They definitely weren't being romantic, but I did think it was weird that they were the only two Summer Housers in attendance. Me thinks Danielle just really wants to worm her way back onto the show next year, LOL." So that was my thinking too. It's like, I could see Danielle dating Carl just to get back on the show. I could see Carl just wanting someone who's like a yes man, quote unquote, and who will just like, you know, tell him that he's wonderful and perfect, and that, you know, Lindsay was the devil, which I think Danielle would do maybe at this point. I don't know. So I could kind of see that, or I could see maybe them having like an agreement or something, because maybe he wants to help Danielle get back on the show so he has more allies. I don't know. All sorts of I don't knows. But as of now, you know, there's no concrete evidence and it's just a rumor. So Lindsay also was on the Toast podcast, and she talked about the whole Paige's photo shoot thing that we never really got an update on. It was kind of just like, it was talked about, but you know, this was one of the reasons that we all left the Summer House reunion so pissed off, because there were not good follow-up questions and there was no one there kind of like, you know, poking holes in some of these stories. Instead, everybody was like taking everything Carl said as Bible. So basically, if you remember, it was that Lindsay tried to sabotage Paige's photo shoot. Paige said she heard this from Carl. And in the reunion, Lindsay is like shocked when she hears this and doesn't know what Paige is talking about. So they asked her about this and they're like, what was the actual story behind this? Because like it was never really clarified. And basically Lindsay's like, I don't really know. This is what I do know is that I had done like a spread in Us Weekly. So she talks about doing a spread in Us Weekly about their breakup. Okay. Which was right before BravoCon. So then apparently Carl was pissed off about this, obviously. So then at BravoCon, he was like talking shit to Paige and was and told her about this photo shoot, this alleged sabotaging of a photo shoot, which again, no one still knows what that means. Like Lindsay even is like, I don't know what that means. Does that mean like, you know, you steal the photographer's lens or something? Like, what does it mean to sabotage a photo shoot? So basically she's like, he was just so pissed off about the Us Weekly spread that he's like talking tons of shit. She says, the one thing I can say is that my friend owns the venue that Paige did her photo shoot in. She's like, and my friend approved the photo shoot because she has to approve it because it's her venue. And she told me, and that's it. There was nothing else. Like, she's like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And she's like, obviously the photo shoot went off without a hitch or what, like nothing happened. So it's like, clearly we didn't do anything. So, yeah, so it was just, it was very frustrating because that is such, like, that would have been such an easy follow-up question at the reunion for Andy or just anyone else if any of those other people had stopped being so, like, you know, groupthink where they're all just like, we're on the same team and no matter what Lindsay says, we're going to da-da-da, even if we don't use logic. Like, just, can we just have some actual rationality for a second? That was very frustrating. So, anyway, so I'm glad she cleared that up. The other thing was... few other things for or from that podcast episode. Sorry. Basically, Lindsay questioned why she wasn't allowed to be blindsided by the breakup just because they had a fight. So I guess she was saying, like, why am I not allowed to feel that way? She said she waited 2 years for Danielle to pipe up and admit she leaked the Craig wedding story until she finally felt she had to clear her name. So she said, like, I gave her more than enough time to like come clean on her own and she just wasn't doing it. Right. Which, I mean, that's fair, especially when you're the one taking the blame for it. She said she felt like the whole house was really supportive of her this summer while she's been pregnant. And she says she feels like it's like they're as a group having like a collective baby, which that's really cute. It is. It's like the first baby in the group and they're all like, yeah, like I kind of like that. She says that this summer while filming, Carl was very respectful to her, though they were never alone together, which good. And they shouldn't be because there is literally no reason for it. We will not see her baby daddy Turner on the show. But we'll learn more about him. So interesting. Danielle is going to make appearances this season, of course. Listen, you're not firing Danielle without a fight. She will claw her way back in whatever way she can. That girl is thirstier than, I don't know, someone stuck in the middle of the desert. That was not a very clever one. Sorry, guys. Where else was I? Oh yeah. She says her and Danielle are still on good terms. We'll definitely see Wes deal with the fallout from Sierra and the fans, and Craig and Kyle do confront the Spritz lover boy drama. Hallelujah. Now she says that they've resolved it, but you can resolve it to each other's face. And, you know, have an agree to disagree, shake hands on it. It was a misunderstanding. I love you, bro. But there's still going to be feelings. There's still going to be lingering feelings that will manifest. And I think those will involve Paige. And I am here for it. I cannot wait for that. So, yeah, we also heard in Summer House News from Jesse. So apparently Jesse is going to have a little bit of a tough season because, you know, he's been posting a lot and talking about this season. Somebody asked him, like, how would you describe this season? And he was like, must watch television. And then Sierra said that Jesse had the least amount of fun this summer and has the most to answer for at the reunion. You know, love that for us. Like, just love it. Okay. So let's talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta, because we do have a little bit of news out of there involving Simon and Portia. So Real Housewives of Atlanta is hopefully returning soon. I thought we'd be hearing about it for this fall, but I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyways, somebody commented something on one of Simon's posts, and they said she is the granddaughter of Hossa Williams. Simon, please, because I guess he was maybe posting or saying something disrespectful. Basically, Simon replied saying Hossa Williams is doing flips in his grave. His legacy did not sign up for his granddaughter's behavior in the last 12 years. Ask first husband how he feels. Okay. I mean, Simon will just not stop. Like, this guy is constant. He talks so much shit on social media about her. He comes off like a real psycho ex. Like, he doesn't want them to film in her house. Like, he just seems like he wants to control everything. I don't know. It's not good. Okay. Now, I think one of the reasons that he is salty and making this comments is because Portia has won the prenup battle with him in court. So the court basically disagreed with Simon and ruled that there is no evidence to support fraud, duress, mistake, misrepresentation, or non-disclosure of material facts that took place during negotiation. So she's won that battle, which, you know, gets Portia one step closer to kind of getting what was agreed to in the prenuptial agreement, which I don't know exactly what that is, but I'm assuming we're going to hear more details of it next season. We also have a little update on the Biermans, Croy and Kim. They're just a mess. They're such a mess that I stopped doing updates on them. But, you know, it's been a little while. And Kim was interviewed in a parking garage by TMZ. I think it was a parking garage or parking lot on her way to her car. And she basically was like, oh, Croy wants me back so badly. He's trying to get me back all the time. He's this, he's that. And then Croy posted on his Instagram story, I will never stop praying for her, but I will no longer stay silent. I was isolated, imprisoned, and silenced for almost 13 years. What's been mentioned in motions is only the tip of the iceberg. In the TMZ interview, you're witnessing narcissistic shaming abuse. I have to be honest, like, do I think Croy is like perfect and has no fault in any of this? Absolutely not. Do I believe that Kim is a narcissistic abuser? Yeah, I do. I do. I really do. And I do think that she has serious, serious issues. Okay. You know, and I think she may have also financially abused him. And I'm not saying that he didn't, I don't know. Maybe he abused her. I don't know the whole story. But I can only go on what I do know. And I do think that she took all of his money and gambled it away. There is video evidence of this on their show. You know, we've seen this in interviews with them. I do think that, you know, I think she just had this like hold over him for a long time. All right. So last, this is kind of just a funny Atlanta story before we go to the next topic, but Phaedra's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, as I've told you. And we also know that Anna Delvey is going to be on, and she is still like on probation. She's wearing like an ankle monitor. So Phaedra threw a little bit of shade at her because, and we know Phaedra's great at that. She was interviewed by Entertainment Tonight and they asked her what she thought of Anna Delvey. And she's like, well, I guess she's not going to be able to go that far in the competition with, because she's got like an ankle bracelet on or something like that. And they were like, oh my God. So that's been floating around. We love Phaedra. We want, you know, we want to see all the shade. I don't know if she'll get to really display that and her personality on Dancing with the Stars, because it's not like a Traitors Housewives type of show. But listen, I'm curious. I don't watch that show, but I'm going to watch some clips. I'm going to see how she comes across. I'll be curious to see that. All right, let's talk about Beverly Hills news. So there's just one piece from Beverly Hills, but, you know, something that we haven't gotten an update on in a while, which is Kyle and her alleged, I can't believe it's been like however many years or months or whatever, and we still have not gotten confirmation about this goddamn relationship. One thing I will say is that I really don't care at this point, but sources close to Kyle Richards allegedly say that, well, they don't allegedly say, they say that Kyle was close to coming out about her relationship with Morgan and being honest with everyone until she saw text messages between Morgan and another woman. Dun, dun, dun. Isn't that like, like Kyle is like fuck these men. They're all liars and cheaters. I'm going to go with a woman. Oh, she's cheating on me too. Like, it's like, maybe your picker is just off, Kyle. Like, maybe it's not the gender. Maybe it's your picker. Okay. Listen, maybe find a different woman or a different man or whoever you feel like finding, but just find a good person. Maybe that's what we need. Now, this is just a rumor. Obviously, this is all alleged. And then Kyle made sure to have some photos of her leaked where her and Morgan are like doing some type of like charity or I can't remember, some kind of event together recently, I guess, to kind of dispel it. I bet you that the source was Kyle, right? Kyle's just like, okay, Beverly Hills is coming back soon. You know, no one's talking about me. No one gives a shit about me anymore. Let me put something out there to get people to pay attention to me again. Like at the end of the day, I think Kyle wants attention. That's really the bottom line of all this. Okay, so let's talk about Real Housewives of Miami, because as we spoke about last week, and that was the top story, was that Katerina had left Lenny for a younger guy, and Lisa has spoken out. So Lisa says she deserves all the karma coming her way. Okay, well, yeah, but she dumped him. So I don't know if this is the best, this response isn't starting how I had hoped, Lisa. The pain she's inflicted on myself, my family, my children, and my elderly mother and aunt is extremely disturbing. Her fake interviews that she still has pinned to her page, completely edited by her and her team against the interviewers, as well as her asking not to go forward with it. Sorry, she had a typo, but I just fixed it so it makes sense. He himself called me to apologize, the interviewer. Our family is relieved that this self-proclaimed homewrecker can no longer harm our children. Her source of money and fame are now gone due to her cheating. Without that, her ability to engage in lawfare and media abuse will hopefully now end. Which, okay, good statement in terms of coming after Katerina. Bad statement in terms of not coming after Lenny enough. Because this is as much his fault, okay? Like, it's his fault for falling for this woman's shit. It's his fault for choosing to leave his wife for her and acting like a complete asshole. And his mother, Lisa's stupid mother-in-law, who was like, she's a good woman, blah, blah, blah. And like, was like coming out in defense of this woman. You all deserve it. You all deserve what you're getting. Lenny deserves it. Lenny's mom deserves it. I don't feel bad for any of them. Okay. And I hate that, like, this is so Lisa to like, still emphasize the blame on the woman. And listen, the woman is a big part of the blame here. I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I guess it's because she has kids with him. And she's, so I got to give her the benefit of the doubt on that, because she's trying to keep things peaceful for her children so they can have like an amicable whatever. She better not go back to him. That's all I'm going to say. If she goes back to him, I'm going to be like beyond disappointed. Not going to be angry, just disappointed. You know how moms say that? All right. So the other thing, oh yeah. And the other thing was that Lenny still is defending Katerina, his ex-fiance, saying that, you know, she's not a gold digger, et cetera. Like he's still, but I think that's just because he's trying to save face. Like he's trying to be like, oh no, no, no. She wasn't a gold. It's that we were really in love. And sometimes even when you're in love, it's, you know, it's just not enough. Things just don't always work out. Like, okay, Lenny. Now, I've heard that the guy that she posted in those pictures and cheated on him with, I heard that he was one of many. Again, I don't have confirmation of this. This is, you know, word on the street. But I've heard that she cheated with a few people and that basically he found out and yeah, and that was it. So that's the real story behind the breakup. So another story is that Dr. Nicole Martin will not be coming back to season 7 of The Real Housewives of Miami. Now, a lot of people were really upset about this and didn't understand, like, why would they let her go? Everyone really liked her. She just had a baby. You know, like, what's happening? This cast is perfect. Why are we doing this? All that kind of stuff. But Nicole then posted a very touching Instagram post about postpartum anxiety. So as a lot of us remember, in March, she welcomed her daughter, Genevieve, who actually was 5 weeks early and spent about 2 weeks in the NICU. And because of that, well, just because of everything, she started to suffer from postpartum anxiety, and it's been very difficult and crippling for her. And yeah, so she needs to take a step back. She's taking a break. So that's why she's not returning this season. And I'm sure we'll see her again in the future. You know, Andy even commented being like, oh, you know, you've been great. We hope to see you back one day. We'd love to have you back, something like that. And all her other castmates posted like, you know, comments of support, etc. So wishing Nicole all the best, and hopefully she's doing better and, you know, continues progressing. It's a tough thing, a very tough thing. All right. And I think our last show that we have some news from that we must cover is Real Housewives of Dubai. Oh, wait, I have some Salt Lake City news too. We'll do Dubai first. The Salt Lake City news is not huge, but just a couple little things. So we had part one of the Dubai reunion. And basically, we all might remember the whole like Ozempic argument, you know, and Ion screaming, etc. But basically, Chanel Ion accuses Lisa of being on Ozempic, right? And then Lisa's comeback is kind of like, well, why are you shading me about that and announcing it to the world when you also were interested in using it and then ended up ordering it and trying it? And then Ion was like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Da, da, da. Like, how could you say that about me? You know, and people are like, well, why would Ion want to use Ozempic? She's like so thin already. Anyways, so Lisa Milan posted some screenshots from WhatsApp conversations between her and Chanel. And she wrote, leaving this right here, models are the first to be on fad diets. And then it has Ion. Basically, Lisa sends a video of her package of Ozempic arriving. Ion replies and says, oh my God, I want to try it. And then there's pictures of like Ion's stomach that she took like selfie pictures of her stomach and sent them to Lisa. I don't know if this is like, oh, look, this is how I look now since I've been taking it. This is my before. I don't know. And then also two pictures of boxes of Ozempic. So that was Lisa kind of proving it, I guess. And then Caroline Brooks replies and says she lies so much and has the audacity to call people liars on national television. And then Caroline Brooks also, because Caroline Brooks is just loving this, right? I find her very funny. I know she's like evil and like the villain, but she's an entertaining villain. Okay. I can't help it. So she's like, Ion lied. Now we've all gotten to see it in HD. She constantly changes stories and narratives and cries that she doesn't speak English when confronted. Lisa Milan is vindicated. We were all confused on who was right and who was wrong until we watched it. So yeah, there's a lot of social media stuff going on with this crew, but a lot of backlash for Lisa because, you know, I think Lisa's mistake here was posting the body pictures of Ion because I think she had a good point, which is like, why are you shaming me for using Ozempic when you were just as excited about it and you also used it? Like, and why are you bringing up something I told you in confidence? Like, I get that we're not friends anymore, but now you're bringing up like personal, like, that's not a good thing to do. That's like shit. That was like Danielle on Summer House. Like the second her and Lindsay got into a fight, she goes to like Lindsay's enemies and starts telling them all her secrets. Like that's just a fucked up thing to do. So I get where Lisa's coming from. And I was on Lisa's side. I think where Lisa fucked up is she took it one step too far by showing the pictures of Chanel's body. Cause they are like very vulnerable, like selfies of like just her stomach area with like these little underwear on. Like, it's just, you could tell like those were not something Chanel would want everybody to see. Like, that was a mistake, I think. And people were very, very critical online about that. So then Alisa deleted the post, but again, it's too late. It's already out there. People have screenshotted it. You know, it's too late. And then people were like, well, why did you delete it? You obviously know it was wrong. And she was like, no, I deleted it because I proved my point. And I'm like, I don't think that's why you deleted it. Okay, so last but not least is Salt Lake City. So Lisa Barlow has got a ring issue. She doesn't know how to, you know, buy rings, get them sized. I don't know. If I spend $100,000 on a ring, I'm definitely going to make sure it fits and get it insured and do all that stuff. Because apparently she loses another $100,000 ring at a New York Fashion Week party. Now, I've also heard that she found it, but it's like, what's happening? Like, what is happening? Is this an insurance scam? Like, I kind of already suspected that, but now we have another ring that's getting lost. It's like, this is looking sketchy, Lisa. The other piece going into the season is that, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Mary versus Meredith. It's like, what happened? They were friends, etc. Well, Meredith in an interview has said that she doesn't know where it came from, that it feels like Mary being mad at her just came out of nowhere. Now, I'm sure Mary has her reason in her head. Maybe it's a reason that doesn't make as much sense to the rest of us people, but, you know, because Mary's sometimes hard to follow with her logic. Like, even when she was mad at Whitney last year and Whitney was like confused about it and it took a while to like understand, you know, and then Mary was like, you called me a prostitution or whatever she said. But listen, I'm sure there's something, but yeah, Meredith is playing it like very innocent in the interview. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's just, you know, crazy Mary being crazy. Like, I just feel like she's kind of painting it like that. So I'm curious to see what it's going to be. Very excited for this Wednesday. It's Wednesday, right? The 18th? Yes. Very excited for this Wednesday and to, you know, see the first episode. There's a clip floating around where Meredith and Whitney are fighting about like selling bath bombs. So yeah, I think we're off to a good start. All right, everyone. You are now in the know for everything Bravo. Have a great week and I will see you next Monday. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.